Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. On this show, we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I am very thrilled with our guest tonight, the very talented and gifted medium, Dustin Livers. In addition to being the youngest certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, Dustin Livers is also a certified Reiki master and uses healing energy in his spiritual therapy sessions. He's also a licensed counselor in the state of Michigan. Dustin also has a master's degree in education as well as a master's in spirituality, cultural and health. He also studied at the prestigious Arthur Findlay College in England. In his private practice, Dustin offers psychic readings to group mediumship sessions and spiritual counseling. He also teaches workshops in mediumship development and intuitive development. He's also a PhD student in counselor education and supervision, a comparative religion scholar, and on top of all that, he also happens to be a ballroom dance performer for Dancing with the Stars, believe it or not. His website, where he can be reached at, is it's simply Dustin Livers, DustinLivers.com. So our show tonight is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters such as the Camelot Center, Love Knows No Death, Am I Psychic, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Perry Sieti, and other great organizations. And our opening topic tonight that we will be discussing is if mediums ever get information about a pending death of somebody in the physical. But listeners, as always, tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes only. Your questions are more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Dustin is not going to be performing any readings tonight, okay? It's really for educational purposes. So if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-800-627-6008. And with that, having said all that spiel, I want to welcome you to the show. Dustin, how you doing?
Great, Roman. Thanks for having me.
And can I say, holy crap, is there anything that you don't do? Holy cow.
Yeah, when you were listing that, I was like, oh my goodness, this sounds
like I know, wow, I'm like, I'm running out of breath just talking about everything. Holy cow. So hey, before we dive into our main topic, tell us about your past. How did you become the person you are today or the medium you are today?
Well,
was it a gift? Was it something that you developed over time? How did it come about?
Well, I would say it's a little of both. So I was a child when I first started sensing spirits. And so I can remember my first memories would be when I was about five.
Wow.
And I had a lot of trouble sleeping at night. And so I got a story for you here. So I would always have my closet doors open. I would have my covers above the underneath of the bed so I could see underneath the bed and the closet because the faces in the shadows. And my dad would come in at night and he would have air freshener spray like you'd leave in your bathroom. And he would come in my room and he would spray the air freshener in my closet and around my room. And he would say, this is going to get rid of the monsters. And that would be how I could sleep at night. I had just profound connection with spirit even at a young age.
Wow. So did you see them? Like, did they appear to you kind of like visually, or is it more of a thing that you felt them?
It was both. So it was scary at night when you're alone.
Yep.
But that could also be comforting. So, you know, I don't want to go into my whole dramatic history here. But when I was young, I didn't always get along with other kids my age. And so I didn't have a lot of friends to play with. And so when I was at home during the day playing games, I could also feel spirit. And during the day, it was more comforting than it was at nighttime when I was about to go to sleep. So it was a complicated relationship with spirit, even at a young age, but I felt them strongly. I mean, it was very strong even at that age for me.
Very interesting. So I guess there must have been some kind of turning point where you decided to accept your gift and work with it to hone in on the skills.
Yeah, so there's a lot that I could talk about here. I don't like to call it a gift per se because that makes it sound like it's better than maybe other people. I believe.
Oh yeah, like a privilege. I understand.
Mm-hmm. I believe we all have some ability. But I didn't have a name for it. You know, my family, while we didn't go to church every Sunday, and I wasn't raised necessarily as a devout Christian, my family on both sides still had Christian influence. And so we didn't have a whole lot of openness to spirituality or especially mediumship or anything like that. I mentioned it and my parents, they entertained it for a time, but it was never taken seriously until I was 18. And that was when I started to do readings. What was at 18 years old. And at 19, that was when I discovered I had a name for being a medium, and that was when another medium told me that I was one. And that was like a Harry Potter moment, you know. I was like, what? No, I'm not, you know. It's like when Hagrid goes to Harry and says, you're a wizard, Harry. You know, it was like that. You're a medium, Dustin.
Wow.
I was like, oh, my gosh. And so that was when I had a name for it, when I was 19.
So we're going to jump into a little bit of a darker topic here. I mean, our opening talk is about, you know, getting messages about somebody's physical death. Do you ever get those kind of messages during reading?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
And what do you do with that? Do you sometimes refrain from telling it? Do you just, you know, can hold, you know, the code and just, yeah, you gotta spill the guts, everything?
So, Roman, this is a tough topic here because you're getting
into
ethics. And so what do you do when a spirit tells you this? So in my practice, I always try my best to be as ethical as possible. And when a spirit shares something like this, sometimes it's not always meant for the sitter. Sometimes it's meant for the medium to know. As they deliver these things. So there's a lot of different aspects to receiving a piece of information like this. It's always case by case. I certainly never tell a client, exactly 1 week from today at around 2:30, that's when they're going to go, you know. that's the time. Better be there, you know.
Affairs in order.
No, there's none of that. But when I'm aware of something like this and I feel that this client can handle it, you know, I'm getting kind of a gauge and maybe they're even asking. People ask that, Roman. They ask, you know, when is my father or whoever going to pass? That's a common question that I get when someone, a caretaker for someone they love. When I'm linking with spirit and I do get some insight about this, I'm always cautious about my delivery and if I feel that I need to deliver that. With that being said, I generally might say something like, you might want to visit them, you know, sooner or something
sooner
like
than
that,
later. Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rather than, you know, you got a couple months. you know what I mean?
Right.
I would never give it time.
That makes complete sense. And you probably don't have an exact date anyways that you're getting a message on. You're probably, you know, because I heard that in the afterlife, there is no time. There is no concept of time. It's like before, after, or now, kind of, and it's a little bit vague. But, hey, that's just, you know, from what I've read. What do you think about that?
Yes, that's absolutely true. So on the other side, most of us believe and understand, and I certainly am with this, that there's no time on the other side when it comes to the spirit world. With that being said, however, spirits understand our world. You know, the spirit world isn't stupid. You know, they can see what's going on.
Right.
They're aware of us and our world. And so they can give time frames. However, personally, me speaking, it's rare. It's more of a vague. But I've heard stories from other mediums that have gotten pretty specific dates on this. I have not, personally. But some mediums claim that they've gotten pretty specific dates on when someone's going to pass. But I'm with you, Roman. I typically stay away from that. I don't like to get into
right.
that. Because even if you are correct, now they're, you know, I mean, imagine someone tells you that and you know, you have a time frame now. I don't know. You know, I don't know if we're meant to know things like that.
Correct. I agree with you 100% on that one. I think... And not only that, do you think that maybe, I mean, when you get a message like that from spirit, is it like a done deal, or can it sometimes serve as a warning to say, hey, change this, or this is going to happen?
It can be all of the above.
All of the above. Okay. You think that, you know, as a warning, yeah, definitely pass on the information. You know, if it can help save a life, prolong somebody's... you know, existence here, why not? But
so
do you sometimes do you ever receive these messages like in a malicious way? Like you know, sometimes you receive these, they would be as a warning, like I just said. But do you sometimes maybe receive these messages as you know, in a malicious way, like from a malicious spirit or anything like that? Kind of like in a taunting kind of thing or whatever.
There are negative energies, and
okay.
Spirits are people without bodies, and so there are good people and bad people, and some of them have bodies and some of them do not.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, I typically protect myself and my sitter. You know, my client, they're coming to me. I'm responsible.
Right.
And so I am doing my best to protect my sitter and my clients. Also, I want to be able to validate. And so with that being said, I've had spirits that have said pretty nasty things. And sometimes
okay.
I don't always tell them exactly what they say, but I may ask, was this client or was this spirit a racist? Or was this spirit... did they used to call people names? I've had spirits call me names, derogatory terms for someone who's gay. And that's validation. I can validate that as a part of their personality. So you get into some really interesting things. In some of those.
Wow. So have you ever actually followed up with clients to see if, you know, any kind of messages about the impending death have come to fruition?
Yes.
Okay.
So, people have reached out to me and they said, Dustin, I'm glad you told me to reach out to this person because, they passed pretty soon after.
Oh, hello?
Yeah, I'm still here, Robert.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We were cut off for a second. You know what? This has been, like, you know, very interesting, and we're going to lead to a little bit more brighter topics a little bit, you know, after the break. But right now, we got to take a little break from our sponsors, and so we'll be right back.
the Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back, everybody. We have our esteemed guest, Dustin Livers, with us today, and we started talking about this topic about, you know, telling people about impending deaths and everything like that, but let's switch it up a bit. Dustin, many of our listeners, like myself, actually became interested in the afterlife due to circumstances that led, you know, to our bereavement. So what can you say right here, right now? And I always ask this to, you know, because it's kind of a feel-good question. What would you say to our listeners to assure them that even though most of us can't feel, see, or touch, or taste it, the afterlife is very, very real?
Well, I would say the feelings attached to our loved ones that have passed. I mean, I've been with all kinds of people. And, you know, I've done readings for children, people who are 100 years old. I think my oldest client was like 103.
Wow.
And I can tell you that people in their 80s, 90s that I've done readings for, their loved ones, they tell me that they feel them just as if they were still alive. You know, someone passed 50 years ago and they're still in their minds, still getting mm-hmm. signs, still feeling that connection. And that is, I mean, if that's not proof of the afterlife, I don't know what it is. You know, when I hear people telling me I don't get signs or I wish I had something like that, I really think there's an emotional thing going on there, you know, and if we reach out and we feel that.
Yeah, you know, I think about my lost ones every day. They, you know, they come all, every day. There's not a day that passes by for me. Recently, actually, this is an interesting story. I just came back from vacation. I went to Vermont and with my family, and I got a call from an old friend. A friend of mine passed away just last, I think it was like last March, just a couple of months ago. Cancer just struck him. He was an amazing guitarist that I did a lot of gigs with him. I'm a guitarist myself. And we used to play up in the Catskills at a resort for many, many years. Anyhow, long story short, got cancer, passed away, and his wife gave me a call while I was on vacation last week saying, you know, I was at a teacher's conference and I was giving a talk, and this lady, complete stranger, comes right up to me and says, your husband is here, and he wants to know that he loves you and that everything, you know, don't worry about the finances. Don't worry about the finances. So she didn't know what to make of it. And she called me and she, you know, and we spoke and she related to me exactly what happened. She got home and then, you know, one of the first things that she needed to take care of was, you know, the car payment. And she goes and the bank says, no, your car's paid. It's all paid, you know. So this guy, my buddy, who passed away, you know, paid for, you know, made sure that she was taken care of. So the type of evidence that this is, for me, is like the best kind of evidence, because it's not my... This medium could not have been accused of mind reading. It was completely unsolicited. She wasn't taking any money for it or anything like that. It just one of those situations where she came up to the guy and said, or she came up to my friend, his wife, and said, I just have to tell you this because he's screaming in my ear, you know? And she revealed something that the sitter did not even know, but found out later to be true. So to me, that's a really, really good type of evidence. And I just wanted to share that on the air because it just happened and it's a true story.
That's incredible. And I would back up what I said about the feelings. I mean, I would imagine when something like that would happen for your friend's wife, that she would feel like he's still there or still connected with her. You know, that would bring up a lot of feelings, I'd imagine, with her.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was extremely happy, and she just wanted to get my take on it. I told her, I said, you had like a first-class reading right there. You had the best kind of evidence you can have right there, you know. Mm-hmm. Take it and love it, you know. Wow. So having said that, I mean, you're a medium, so you connect with the afterlife, and you grieve differently than non-mediumistic folks because you can... You know, I mean, you've obviously, everybody's lost loved ones, okay? So can you connect to them like anytime you want kind of thing? Or is it easier for you, would you say? Well, what's your take on that?
Well, mediums, we still grieve, you know, and all spiritual people grieve, whether you're a spiritualist, a medium, a priest, a rabbi. We still, even though we have a solid belief in the afterlife, it still hurts when our loved ones pass.
Right.
But with that being said, with me being a medium, it's not like I can just be like, hey, Grandma, you know, how's it going? you know, it doesn't quite work that way. But
it's not the same type of conversation.
No, but I'm more open and aware of spirit signs and connections. See, I have the know-how and the understanding, and I'm my awareness, I'm open to that. And so I do get signs from my loved one from time to time because I'm open to it and I know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandmother, she sends me rainbows. I can share with you a really personal story. So
please do.
My grandmother passed about 3 or 4 years ago. And one of my last conversations that I had with her was about her talking about possibly going on a cruise with her husband, my Grandpa Bill. And I was talking, I love cruises. I've been on 8 cruises and I'm mourning the loss of cruises right now because of the situation happening
right,
in our
yeah.
world. But,
mm-hmm.
I told her, I said, well, Grandma, you know, just go. I said, you know, I said, and of course she's given me all the reasons why not to. And then she died, very suddenly, but an accident. She hit her head and she died.
Oh,
and, I mean, just a few months afterwards, I think that was Christmas time, and she passed, I think, in March, and so it was like 3 months later. And so I went on the cruise later that year, and I remember when I was down, I can't remember what island I was on, but I remember it started to, just a light shower happened, and I looked up. And there was a rainbow right over the boat. And I was like, oh, I know that my grandma is with me on this cruise. And it was really emotional for me. And the rainbow became my symbol with her because the day that her service was happening, there was a rainbow over St. Joe Hospital where she worked at for over 20 years. And so when the rainbow happened over the hospital, you know, where she was at for that minute long, that just became my symbol of her. And I have a picture of that on my Instagram.
Wow.
It was profound experience.
Yeah, spirits will show you and materialize in many, many different ways. And it's amazing, even to us non-mediums, sometimes you get, signs. I got a really strong sign from my son when he appeared as an orb on my heart about 3 months after he passed. We blew up the orb and we did this thing called a dodge and burn, which just kind of enhances the pixelation. All the light stuff becomes lighter, the darker stuff becomes darker, and I swear to God, it's a picture of his face in the orb with angel wings. It's incredible, the picture. And
gosh.
That just, like, rocked my world, blew my mind. And it's like, wow, there's no mistaking it. So he gave me a really good sign. And,
that's a pretty powerful sign.
Yeah, it was pretty powerful, very powerful. And, you know, I hear stories like that all the time about things happening, and there's books and books on it, people's experiences. So, yeah, I mean, to me, I'm convinced, and it still fascinates me, nevertheless, 10 years after the fact. But it's amazing how the world works, and what is out there that is not part of the physical. It's just because we can't see and touch it, believe me, it's there. And there's a lot of different sciences like quantum physics and all that kind of start. They're starting to converge towards those theories. Which is really fascinating because, I think in our lifetime, it's going to be 100% proven like a science. And, people like yourself are going to help this along for sure.
Yeah, that's the goal.
yeah, absolutely. So tell us a bit about your Reiki experience. What is Reiki? I'm not very... I know it's a healing thing, and I know it's kind of like a... I don't know if there's physical contact involved, but hey, I'm going to let you speak on this one because I know nothing.
Well, there's a lot of different forms of Reiki, and so I can't speak for all of them, but I can tell you that the basic The Reiki is a Japanese tradition, actually. Typically, you do touch the person. At least I do. I do hands-on Reiki. There's all kinds of hand positions and symbols and things if you get into the nitty-gritty of it all. But I'm just a very spirit-led Reiki practitioner. And so I do this hands-on. And I've been doing that since I was 16. And my aunt, Candace, one of her closest friends, took a liking to me, and she took me out and about. And I would volunteer my Reiki services at her yoga studio in Elkhart, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
And so, so at 16 years old, you can imagine little Dustin, teenager Dustin, offering Reiki to people just walking into the studio. That was how I learned from other Reiki practitioners. And I still do energy healing to this day in my spiritual therapy sessions when people book me for that type of service. So,
right.
That's how I got into it and a little bit about it.
So what kind of things would you heal, like a sore back, those kind of things, a sore knee, body ailments? Is that what it's made for? Is that the aim of it?
Well, Reiki is made for any ailment that you got going on. It's very similar to faith healing. So anytime anyone, I see a lot of people who are getting into it and somebody says that they've got, you know, they fell over their foot walking in, or they bump their shoulder against the door, and you'll see a whole bunch of middle-aged women typically running over to them, putting their hands over it, you know, channeling their Reiki. I'm a firm believer in Reiki, and I think a lot of it's becoming quite popular. I do see a lot of people getting into it, even nurses. Surprisingly, a lot of holistic nurse hospitals have some kind of Reiki unit even. It's really quite fascinating how it's evolved in this part of the world.
Is this the Reiki sessions, like this one session suffice to heal, or is it multiple sessions, or is it a combination? How does that...
Are you asking about me personally, or just kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, what's been... Well, your experience, yeah. What is your experience with that?
So it's both. Typically, I don't like to see people a whole bunch of time. If you look on my website, it actually says I like people to wait 6 months before coming back to me for a service. I'm aware that someone needs a healing, you know, something like that, pretty regularly, I'll usually refer them to another Reiki practitioner someone else that I trust. I've been doing that a lot with my friend John. I've been sending people to him. But some people, that's their whole practice. They see clients mm-hmm. every week, and they give them Reiki, and that's their thing.
Great.
You know, it's part of their holistic health treatment.
Yeah, I actually did check out your website before the show. It's a pretty good website. It's very nice. I like the section about, you know, the section a bit about you, and it's got your black cat in there and your picture of your mom and dad and all that kind of stuff. So, like, it puts a face to the, you know, it puts a personality to the practitioner, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I really
do
that
on purpose. My cat is my best friend. I love that. He's 15. He's 15 years old and going strong.
Well, you know what? He's still got a long life left. I mean, cats can live to 21, 22 easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to be one of those probably.
Yeah, well, hopefully. You know, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. Maybe, just don't tell him when he's going to cross, right?
Yeah, no. Because they said, this is the end. I'm so sad. No. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I had to slip that one in there. So, hey, what do you think about... gender role assignment between here and when we cross over? Do we, as spirits, do we still maintain a gender? Do we switch? What's going on with that? What do you think?
That's a question I don't know if I've ever received that before. With everything happening today, gender isn't what we've always thought it to be, obviously, especially with the trans movement happening in this in our country and internationally, too. Trans is a big thing. But when it comes to spirit, I don't know if there is a sex or gender with spirit, right? They present themselves in a way that we would be able to understand.
And recognize them, probably in the previous gender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's how they're presenting themselves. But to ask, do they still have, I don't know what words I can use over the air, Rowan, I don't know.
I've heard some words on this show. It's not over the air. This is a, it's kind of a podcast, and so it's, you know, anything can kind of go.
Okay.
So if you have to use some terms, that's totally okay.
Does spirits still have a penis or vagina? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do they? Do spirits still have penises? I'm not going to tell you 100% one way or the other.
Right.
But gender-wise, we usually do feel if this person is a masculine energy or a feminine energy.
Okay.
And I have blended with a trans person before who has expressed their preferred gender expression to me.
Okay.
Can't remember if they were female to male or male to female, but however they were presenting themselves was how they were identifying, which was fascinating. I wish I could have remembered more specifically about that. It was just such a fleeting moment that they came through, but it was that was something. And so I don't know, because if you believe in reincarnation.
I was just going to talk about that.
Yeah, I would imagine that if you believe in reincarnation, that you would have more than just a male or female life, right? You wouldn't just say, all right, I want to be a female for the next 50, or for every time I come in, you know what I mean? Like, I would imagine maybe a little more... mix up, right? Maybe a little more flavor going on.
Yeah, yep. No, that's true. That's exactly right. I think your soul, your spirit is a spirit. And personally, I believe that we're very brave souls to take on this thing called life on Earth and learn some very hard lessons and take some very hard knocks. And it's kind of like a fast track to learning, which you cannot achieve in the spirit world, where anything that you want kind of materializes in front of you. But that's that's just my opinion. But I also think that we're brave souls to take this on, and then we'll take on another life. I personally believe in it. I think that, but it's up to the person. Do you want to reincarnate or not, or do you want to move to other things? There's just so much out there that is unknown at this point. But I think...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And for the purposes of this being my interview, right, you're interviewing me personally, so I will share you my personal views. I do believe in reincarnation.
Great.
But when my clients ask me that, I don't always share that because they may not, and I don't want that... Right. To color their experience with me. I want to just be the medium. I just want to be the middle person.
Gotcha.
I don't want me to color their experience of hearing from their loved ones, or their spiritual reading. And there are some fantastic mediums who do not believe in reincarnation, and there are mediums who have channeled spirits in trans mediumship where the spirits themselves who come through and speak through the medium do believe in reincarnation and some that do not. And so even the spirits themselves come through the medium in trance, speaking, and disagree. So, you know, it's really interesting.
It is. Wow, very fascinating. So, Dustin, we're going to take a short break. It's 20 of the hour, and we're going to hear from our sponsors. But we're going to keep chatting right after the break, and this is super fascinating. So, dear viewers, just stay on the line. We'll be right back.
The Camlac Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlac Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing. and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Hey, everybody, we are back, and we're speaking here with, we're sitting here or on the phone here with Dustin Livers, and it's been a really fascinating show. So, you know, we got a little bit more time to talk about yourself there, Dustin. I just want to find out, like, when you actually do your readings, like, what you're talking about, like, protecting yourself and your clients, or that must be some kind of ritual that you go through. Just tell us a bit about that. Like, how do you prepare for a reading?
Yeah, so before every reading, I always get myself in a relaxed spot. You're not going to do anybody any good if you're highly anxious or you're, you know, freaking out about anything. You're not going to be getting a lot of good evidence that way. So right. I make sure that I'm centered. I guess really it starts the night before. Yeah, I got to make sure that I get enough sleep, that mm-hmm. I'm going to be in a good place. And then usually about 10, 15 minutes before the session, start really relaxing, breathing, make myself a cup of coffee maybe or a glass of water. I get my notes out, and so because I do automatic writing when I connect, and I get my recorder. My clients will usually see me writing when we're on Skype or FaceTime or Zoom, something like this. Get my recorder out, and then they call and we're on and I give them my prep speech and then I go right into it. I hit it hard.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating, this automatic writing. So do you write with what comes out? Pictures, words, sentences, what kind of stuff materializes on the paper?
So it's a little bit of all of that. Usually it's not a full sentence. So I'll usually have, I actually have artwork in my office of some of, collages of some of the things that I've written and drawn. And I put some of that on my Instagram. I call it Spirit Art. But it can be, it's usually words. Drawings, symbols, sometimes it's letters. Like if it's a state, it'll be like CA, or if it's Florida, like it'll be FL, CA for right. California. It'll be things like this. And sometimes I have no idea what it is. I'm just scribbling. So, you know, I guess it's mixed bag. I don't know what's going to come out of it. But every reading, it doesn't fail. I've done this. And a fun fact, I'll tell you this. I had a woman post on my Instagram page when I posted an artwork about this. And she told me, and this was maybe a couple months ago, she still had the papers of the automatic writings I did during her reading from like 5 or 6 years ago. So I just handed them out to people. So after the reading, if I'm in person, I'll just usually give it to them.
Right.
Or if they ask, I'll take a screenshot of it on my phone or a picture or something, and I'll email it to them. Something I've been doing for a long time.
And that kind of helps you with the, you're obviously a mental medium, so you see things and feel things. I guess you're clairaudient, clairsentient, and all the different clairs, I guess, right?
That's correct. Yes, I'm a mental medium. You've done your homework.
Oh, yeah, my books. I've read my books.
But yes, yeah, I'm what they call a mental medium. But I also, there's a few things that are a little different with me. So one is the automatic writing. Not every mental medium does
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Another would probably be sometimes I can remote view. And so spirits can sometimes show me and take me to places that they want to talk about, and it's like I'm actually there, and I'm sensing things.
Yeah, fascinating.
And so that happens from time to time. And there's a few other quirks, too. But, yeah, usually there's a lot of things going on in addition to the mental mediumship sometimes.
Very cool. And how do you start off a session, like, with a prayer of protection or anything to keep the bad spirits away and all that kind of stuff?
So I always ask, yes, let this be for the highest good. Sometimes I'll white light myself. I'll ask for that. I used to light a candle, and I used to imagine a door opening, but I've worked with spirits so long now that they just know about the speech. You know, I mean, this isn't my first rodeo. I've worked for about 8 years. And so, you know, they just know. I've worked with my spirit team for so long. They've changed my rituals over the years. So it's a little quicker, smoother transition.
What about the sitters? Do they, you were explaining before about, you know, whether they... You want to make them at the most comfortable as possible, right? Because I think the state of the sitter can affect your readings, correct?
Yes. Yes, it can.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have skeptics that come in that's like, this is impossible, blah, 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 and then it becomes probably more difficult, correct?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So this is a spectrum, right? When someone says they're a skeptic, there's a difference between being a skeptic who's open
and a skeptic
that's just completely closed and not going to listen to anything you have to say. And
right.
The skeptics who are open are going to get usually a good reading. This is like their first experience. Maybe they're not fully buying it. But if you have a good medium who's competent and especially FFF certified medium, you're going to get usually a good reading. You know, it may not be the best, but it's going to be good. And so that's usually not a problem. It's the skeptics who will not listen to anything you have to say, or the people who are so narrow focused on hearing one thing or from one person that's really tough.
Right, yeah, they want only one person to come through, and sometimes that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and there's no guarantees in this work. It's not like I'm summoning somebody and they're right there, you know, telling me word for word, and it's a full-on conversation. It's listening. It's being aware of your senses. It doesn't work like these people are thinking. And the people who are just completely closed off, I have no idea why they're coming in for readings. Like, if this isn't your thing, why are you calling me? You know, go somewhere where it is.
It's
your
crazy.
Thing, you know?
It's a waste of time and money.
I don't know why they do that, but they do. It's really odd.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So, listen, before we go, we're almost out of time here, but tell us, we've got your website, which I mentioned earlier, which is, It's the DustinLivers.com. That's probably the best way to get a hold of you, right? Through your website?
Yeah, so my website has my scheduler booked right on there. So you can read all about my readings, different services, my schedule's on there, and you can book an appointment right on there through PayPal. It takes, all the regular forms of payment. Don't even have to call my phone. But if, you know, I welcome emails. If people have a question that's not addressed on my website, if it is on my website, I'll tell you to read my website. Because most people, believe it or not, they don't read, you know, the stuff on my website. And I'm like, it's on my website. And you know, but if it's not on there, of course, or if they're having trouble, yes, you know. But my website is the easiest way to just book a reading.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very, very good. And I guess, how far in advance are you booked? I mean, what's the wait if somebody wanted to book you?
So I think I'm booked up for this week. I think next week I'm halfway booked. So I still have appointments towards the later half of next week. Typically, my appointments get booked up by Saturday, Sunday for the next week. That's usually how my schedule works. But I, you know, I try my best to keep my schedule open.
Great. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with this, you know, the radio show and teaching us a little bit about, you know, how you see things. And it's been extremely fascinating. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners do as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I've enjoyed my time here, and anything to educate and promote and advocate for spirits, I'm all for that. Yeah.
Well, that's great. And you know what? It really helps, especially for, you know, for me, it's a great, why I do this is because it's a good form of therapy I feel that I'm helping others by doing these shows and hosting these shows and talking to mediums and trying to, you know, find out a little bit more information in my own way. Yeah, I think it definitely helps. It absolutely helps. It's for the greater good, as they say.
Absolutely. Rowan, you and I are very similar. I always tell people that mediumship is a form of therapy. I'm a therapist. I'm a limited license counselor in Michigan. And mediumship is absolutely a form of alternative, we would probably label it alternative, but it's absolutely therapeutic. It offers people so much healing and meaning in their lives.
Of course, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Dustin, thank you so much, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. It's been fascinating, and I will be back in another month on the second Thursday of the month of it would be September. So I look forward to that. And again, Dustin, thank you. You're awesome. Thank you so much. And have a good night, everybody. And before we go, I just want to say to everybody that you're just like Bob and Fran say at the end of their show. They say that your loved ones are just a heartbeat away, and that science is going to prove it one day. So good night, everybody.